This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Mission, where the Bible is being preached and taught day in and day out in the old Trailblazer broadcast, the Voice of Truth broadcast. And I want to give you just a moment or two of update about the ministry here. Many of you know that we were put out of our places of service by Hurricane Katrina. We had to move our facilities. We moved up close to Baton Rouge, which is about 90 miles from New Orleans. And we are going on day by day, but we're in the process of raising money to build a new chapel here, new facility where we can get all of our recording equipment. Right now we're operating out of a little shoebox. Seemed like a shoebox here at my house. And my studio was kind of halfway. But listen, I just want to tell you, we're doing fine. We're doing well. The Lord is blessing the services. And we're able to broadcast every Sunday morning from the chapel here in Baton Rouge. It's 1923 Maryland Drive in Baton Rouge. And folks are doing that thing. We're broadcasting there. We're broadcasting over the Internet on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I hardly ever give you my mailing address here at my home where we are broadcasting from. It's 13091 Pendarvis Lane, Walker, Louisiana. That's 70785. That's where I was born and raised. That's why they call the street Pendarvis Lane. My folks were here many, many, many years ago when they put the road down through here, and they called it Pendarvis. But listen, I'd like to hear from you. Many of you I haven't heard from. Some of you folks who were evacuated from New Orleans, now you're over in Houston or Dallas or Fort Worth or up in Kentucky, there maybe in Atlanta. Let me know how you are. Just write me a note, call me, let me know how you are. And then the bookstore is up and running over the mail, over the email, over the phone. And that number that you can call is air code 225-664-8658. We'd be glad to fill your book orders for you. But we're continuing in our study now in the book of Revelation, and we're coming down close to the end. We're looking at the resurrection, the first resurrection. I want us to notice that sixth verse. We were in there last in our last study. It says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Let's look at that expression. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Why is it so blessed? Why is that such a blessed event? Why is it so holy to be counted worthy of the first resurrection? It means that one day the Holy Spirit led you, believer, to see yourself as a lost sinner before God. You acknowledge it, took your place as a lost, guilty sinner, and for Christ's sake, God saved you, washed you in his blood, and made you in the image of his Son." Now that's simply put. It's simply put how the Lord saves a sinner. Let me read that again. It means that one day, one night, somewhere, somehow, the Holy Spirit led you to see, let you see through the Word, by the preaching of the gospel, that you were a lost, guilty sinner, and for Christ's sake, he saved you, washed you in his blood, made you in the image of his blessed Son. It means that when he comes, he will give us a body like unto our risen Lord. Listen to God's word, John, 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Be like him. Isn't that grace? Let's don't hurry through God's word. We shall be like him. The old psalmist said, "I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness." Paul, the great old apostle writing to the church at Philippi, said, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." One day Paul said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That's Romans 8:18. To be like unto our risen Lord is enough for me. Isn't that right? Isn't that grace, my friend? But listen again to the Word of God. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown in a natural body. It'll be raised in a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians, and listen, in the resurrection, we will be given new bodies. In the resurrection, we'll be given new bodies. They will not lose their identity. Now, my friend, that's probably one of the most disturbing things that folks want to know. Will we know as we are known? And I believe that we will. I believe, my friend, that we'll be known as we are known. We'll not lose our identity. There will be no imperfection about our bodies. There will be no weakness about it. It will be raised in power. It will be a glorious body. It will be a body in which there will be no sin. Won't that be great? No germ of death. Yes, it will be a corporal body. We'll be able to eat and to drink. We'll recognize each other. Yes, we'll know each other in heaven and here on the new earth. Oh, listen, all of this is the work of God's sovereign grace, God's gift to a poor old wretched hell-deserving sinner who is brought to trust the Lord as his Savior. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day when my Lord returns and he will give me my new body. This old tabernacle that I have, slowly decaying, hair turning gray, falling out, walk slow, arthritis done took a hold of me. But listen, oh, my friend, but if one day, if Christ delays his coming, my old body and yours would be going back to Mother Earth to wait the resurrection morning. And on that day, Christ will give me, give you, give every born-again believer a new body. It will be perfect. There won't be one flaw in it now. Now our eyesight, we have to wear glasses. Now we have to wear a hearing aid. Now we have to wear a back brace or a knee brace or an ankle brace. Oh, but listen, it will be a body like unto his body in the resurrection. Oh, and I know one thing, we'll never grow tired. I find myself growing so tired and so weary. I have folks call me now. They hear my voice. They say, Pastor, you sound tired. Well, I am tired. I'm tired, first of all, of rebellion against God. I'm tired of this world, how it's flaunting itself in the face of our blessed Lord, and no one, you and I, can do nothing about it. I'm tired of seeing rebellion in our homes, our children, our families, where they turn their back, as it were, on everything spiritual, everything that's good and holy. And now where we're having a sexual revolution in this world like we've never known before. I don't go to the movies, of course, but I read in the paper some of the things they say, and they're talking about the homosexual movies now. And I heard this statement that one of the movie houses, movie producers that made one of these homosexual movies, they were afraid that there might be a backlash against because of the Christian community. And they said after the thing came out and won several nominations for awards, it said, oh, wasn't any backlash. The Christian world had nothing to say. You know why, my friend? They don't see anything wrong with it. They don't see anything wrong with it. Not a thing in the world wrong with it. Just like all the other perversions that we have now, the homosexual prisoner, homosexual preachers, homosexual pastors, and those things. And I saw where one of the leading homosexuals that was appointed to some high office, where he's checked in now to a rehab for drugs and alcohol. Oh, my friend, listen, this is what we're facing today. But you know, one day, it'll all be gone. Oh, and the Holy Spirit can accomplish all that he wills to accomplish in and through this old life. He will carry every born-again believer to be with him. No wonder the born-again believer's cry is, come, Lord Jesus, come. That's what John said. Over this body, the second death hath no power. Christ tasted death for every born-again believer. Christ died that we might not die. Christ went to hell as our surety. Therefore, we cannot go there. My friend, do you know this Christ? Can you look back at the time when the Lord brought you to see you were a lost sinner, stood guilty before God, begging for mercy? Can you go back to the time when God, for Christ's sake, forgave you and made you a child of his? If you cannot, Oh, may you go there. May you go there and cry from your heart, Lord. Lord, I'm lost. Have mercy upon my poor soul, for Christ's sake. Poor, awakened sinner, wretched, lost, doomed, hell-deserving, as you sit there now before your radio, don't rest. Don't give up. Don't go back. But let up a cry, oh God, have mercy upon me. My only hope, my only plea, is that Christ died, and He died for me. I plead His blood. I have no merit of my own. I have no righteousness of my own. I deserve to die. I deserve to go to hell. If you send me to hell, you'll be just, and I'll say amen to my own condemnation. I know I don't deserve to be saved. This is a sinner, awakened sinner. Every awakened sinner, this is his confession. I'm not worthy to be saved. I'm not fit to be saved. Oh, God, I sentence myself. I come to you deserving to go to hell. I come to you with a rope around my neck. Oh, listen. But your word says that Christ died for such an unworthy sinner and paid his sin debt. I plead nothing but the finished work of Christ. For Christ's sake, have mercy upon me and save me, O Lord. Now, my friend, I've never known God to turn away one with such a plea. I never have. Everything that God does for you is by grace. The fact that He has awakened you to your lost condition is of grace. If He saves you, it will be grace. And then to give you a new body like unto Christ is grace. It will be the marvel and wonder of every soul. Whoever gets saved and gets to heaven, that God saved him and brought him there. Oh, I ask you, as the old trailblazer, as we come to the close of this particular study, I ask you to turn to the Lord. In our next study, we're going to look at the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Won't that be interesting? You like that? You like to learn things, my friend? This is going to be an informative passage. The 1,000-year reign of Christ. What's going to take place there? And I asked you, are you ready to go be with the Lord? I never want to bring a message without holding out hope. That's hope, my friend. You may be down in the gutter. You may be down spent all night in reverie somewhere, laying in your own vomit there on Bourbon Street. You may be there somewhere in an unholy setting where there's sin on every hand. But if there's a cry in your heart, Lord, deliver me. The Lord will save you. He won't leave you there now. I don't know. The Lord doesn't save you in your sin. He saves you from your sin. But He'll drag you out of there. He just come drag you out. That's what He'll do. He'll just drag you out. He send the Holy Spirit there to just drag you out, my friend. Have you ever been dragged out of your old sin? Oh, listen, my friend. It's grace. It's grace. It's no shame to be in a sinner. It's a shame to remain a sinner when there's hope nearby, when there's a time and a place right now available, when the scepter of grace is still held out as an awakened sinner. And I wish you would. I wish you'd sit down and write me and tell me how the Lord dealing with your heart up there somewhere in Macon, Georgia, over there in Lancaster, Georgia, all of those places where we're in Norfolk, Virginia, and in Maryland, and up there in Appalachian, over there in Nebraska where you folks hear the old trailblazer. Sit down and write me a note. Say, trailblazer, don't take this station off the air. Leave it on. I want to get to know the Lord. I want to hear these gracious studies day in and day out. And I'm going to help you with the broadcast, trailblazer. Would you do that? But most of all, just let me know that you listen. You old truckers, I hadn't heard from some of you in quite a while now up there on I-55 or I-70 or I-95 out there on the West Coast. I hadn't heard from some of you. Would you write me? Sit down at the next truck stop and jot down a little line and send it to me. Say, I'm out here, old trailblazer. I'm still listening. Still listening. I just hadn't been home to write you. But if you do that, I appreciate it. And then help me with the broadcast. But most of all, just pray for me. Pray for the old trailblazer. Remember, my mailing address, the old trailblazer, post office box, 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Until next time, may the Lord's richest blessings rest upon you. Goodbye.